Hello, everyone. We're just excited today to tell you about, real quickly, a report from JMICF, Jackie Mize International Children's Foundation, and our Christmas exciting care for orphans around the world. Darn it, it was another banner year.
Well, it was. I tell you, thank God for you guys,
That's
for our
right.
partners that made it possible, and for giving, for caring, for loving.
That's
what Christians
right.
do. We give our money away.
Yeah, and we're a unique bunch of folks, and we are just so thankful for the contributions that so many of you made to help JMICF this year have another banner year. All through COVID, all through any kind of negative economy, the Lord just provides through you, and we are so grateful. We haven't been beggars, we've been believers.
Amen.
And we've done over 40 orphanages and now over 25 countries. And all
just
year
long. Just for Christmas.
That was just at Christmas. And then all year long, JMICF is giving. What are we doing? We do all kinds of stuff, you know?
Well, we dig water wells.
Yes.
Because they need water or they'll die.
Yeah.
Water brings life. We've bought tractors and plows for one orphanage in Zimbabwe, Africa, that wants to raise their own food.
Yeah, they're raising
and feed their
own
kids
food. Thank God.
And feed some other people as well. We're helping widows. The
yes.
Bible tells us, Old Testament and New, to take care of widows and orphans.
Right.
And so we've helped some widows that are involved in ministries that their husband's gone, the income's gone, so we've helped them according to the Bible.
And
child trafficking, human trafficking, we've helped in that.
Right.
Feeding centers.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And then one orphanage had such an increase of babies into their orphanage, we bought all new baby beds and mattresses for them.
Yeah, they had they got doubled their
Yeah, that was like 25
population.
New babies in a year. And so those are the things we've done all year long besides the tremendous JMICF
and
Christmas orphanage.
We'll give you
orphanage.
A full report here in a few weeks because the numbers, we're still putting them together
yeah.
and still getting pictures in and reports in. So we just wanted to pop in here today and just tell you thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes,
God
praise
bless
the Lord.
You. We pray for you every day, and we'll get you a full report, full color brochure in just a few weeks.
God bless you.
So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
Everyone, God bless you and welcome today to More Than Conquerors program. We are delighted to have all of you here, and we can hardly wait to talk to you about some of the things we're going to share with you today. We really have to talk about, Terry, the big picture of what you've been involved in for 56 years and what we've done in ministry, you know, all the folks that are working together to get the work of God done in the earth.
Oh, absolutely. It takes everybody.
It takes everybody. And the value that you have to see on your life. Terry always used to say that you cost the blood of Jesus. You know, that's the value mm-hmm. aspect of who we are in Christ Jesus. But then when we actually all work together, which is God's plan, that we all work together to get a focus on what the real job is, then it causes the value of who we are to the Lord to be increased as a heritage back to Him. What He has put in us multiplies around the world.
Sure.
I know you've got some powerful things to share with them about this, and I wanted to just read this to remind you that how God has felt about this and what the Apostle Paul wrote in the early days of the church 2,000 years ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says here, for when one says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not proving yourselves ordinary, unchanged men? We're not factious. We're not trying to break this up and everybody have their own little kingdom. This is not the way the kingdom of God works. But he says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? These are questions. And he says, here's the answer. We are ministering servants. not heads of parties, through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. And you, God appointed you. We were talking about this in an earlier program.
Right.
God imparted to you a task. He asked you to be a missionary at 13. You accepted.
I'm not sure
the call.
He asked me to.
He just declared.
He said, you are one.
You are. You know, isn't that wonderful? You are more than a conqueror.
He gave an order, and I said, yes, sir.
Yeah. You are more than a conqueror. You are a missionary. If we'll just take those assignments from the Lord and know that's if we'll just function within what God's called us to do, he will provide the means necessary. So Paul goes on to say, and this will be familiar to many of you, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. I love this. So neither he who plants is anything special, nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. Isn't that wonderful?
That's true.
Only God, he makes it become greater.
But you still need the planter and the waterer.
You still need the planter and you still need the water. He said, so he who plants and he who waters are equal in one aim of the same importance and esteem. Isn't that wonderful? You're of the same importance as far as the mind of God goes as those, like Terry said so many times, goers and senders, we're working together. Those that stick by the stuff and those that go out to battle, as David showed us, we all get the same. And he goes on to say here, yet each shall receive his own reward, wages, according to his own labor. For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, co-laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden, God's vineyard, field under cultivation. You are God's building. And then verse 10, for according to the grace, the special endowment for my task God gave me, he said, like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. You know, this is all New Testament, Terry. Everything
sure is
New
sure
Testament
is.
Ministry, getting the gospel to the world.
No, absolutely. And, as we've said, I think it was last week, we talked about partnership and how much we appreciate our partners because we just came out of the old year into the new year.
That's right.
And how
My
much we appreciate them for what they did last year.
Yes.
And because it takes us and them together.
That's right.
You know, it takes it, as I've said for so many years, every believer is a missionary, either
That's
a goer
right.
or a sender. You
That's
can't
right.
opt out of the system. We know
That's
we have
right.
to do it.
That's right.
Old Testament tells us to do it. New Testament tells us to do it. We know we have to do it. Every pastor knows they
That's
have to
right.
do it. But we're doing it together.
That's it.
And you're either a goer and you go do. I've often said either you go eat worms yourself or you send money for somebody else to go.
That's right.
But somebody's
got to
go eat the worms.
Somebody's got to go
sleep in the jungle. Somebody's got to go overseas. Somebody's got to leave their comfort zone and go out to where
That's right.
the hurting people are. And so but our partners, Renee, this is my 56th year now that we've ended the new year. My 56th year in Third World Missionary Evangelism. And I've had partners all these many years. And a lot of my original partners now that started with me 56 years ago have passed away,
right.
you know, and many have retired and own more of a fixed income now. But, you know, God keeps adding new partners. Thank God
That's
for
right.
new partners. And then we're responsible for that. We were talking last week about how God trusts us.
That's right.
Or entrusts us
yeah, he
with
entrusts.
The calling, with the anointing.
Right.
With the word to go take as precious seed.
That's right.
You know, the word says you're carrying precious seed. And then you'll doubtless come again and bring it in the harvest.
That's right.
So we take the precious seed that God's entrusted us with. But by the same token, we have to trust God for the money and the anointing and the health to get there and get it delivered.
That's right.
You know, the partners supply the seed and we go deliver it.
Isn't
We've got to
something?
Make sure that we get it delivered and get it to the people. And, you know, Christians are just, I've thought a lot lately, you and I've talked about it many times, but a lot lately I've just had on my mind just the goodness of God.
Yes.
The goodness of God and the goodness
How
of
wonderful.
The church.
Yes.
You know, and the goodness of Christians. And I know none's good but God, the word says, but I'm talking about the goodness where the church says, I'll give my money.
Right.
I'll give my time. I'll give my prayer.
I'll
help the pastor. I'll support the church.
I'll
support the missionaries. I'll, you know, the goodness, you know, we've talked many times about the old French
historian, Alexis de Tocqueville, back in 1835, he actually wrote a little paragraph. He wrote a book called Democracy in America, but there's a little paragraph in there, and it says he wanted to see what made America so great.
Right.
He thought, well, France isn't great, Europe isn't great, why is America great? So he actually came to America.
Yes, he did.
And took extensive trips to see if he could find what made America great. And he said, if I could find out what made America great, I could take it home to France and make France great. And he said this, he said, I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forest, and it was not there.
Wow.
In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. He said, not until I went into the churches of America.
Hallelujah.
And heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness, did I understand the secret of America's genius and power. America is great because she's good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And I have said for decades now, you've known me for decades, I've said, I'm concerned about America being great. I know with Mr. Trump, we had the slogan, and still do, make America great again. But if we're going to be great, we're going to have to be good.
Have to be good.
And I've been concerned about America over the last few decades because I see her halo slipping.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, there's not the goodness. You know, we started aborting babies and murdering babies by the millions and millions and millions.
Millions.
And now, thank God, we've overturned some of that in some states. But goodness is what God's into. He's a good God.
That's right.
And goodness is just such a special. Well,
yes.
In fact, Galatians 5 tells us it's one of the fruit of the Spirit.
One of the nine fruit of the Spirit.
It says goodness.
The goodness.
Goodness. And you know, I remember one time, you know, goodness compels you. Love compels you to help people.
Love compels you to do a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of an evil thing.
Yeah.
And because you love somebody, whether they deserve it or not.
Exactly.
You are motivated to do a good thing.
Of course.
And that only comes from God.
Absolutely.
And people don't realize that.
I remember one time I went to Romania to do a pastor's conference with gypsy pastors. And I'm one of the first ministers, if not the first. I may not have been the first, but I think I was. Certainly within the top few, that ever put gypsies in a hotel.
Yes.
Hotels in Romania, you've been with me, hotels don't want gypsies in them.
They sure do.
Gypsies are looked down on all over the world. You talk about discrimination, racial prejudice and what have you. But anyway, I put these gypsies in a hotel.
Right.
And so I went on this particular trip, and I invited 200 pastors to this meeting. And I had a budget for that.
Right.
It was a big budget, paying their hotel, paying their food.
Right.
And so I had my money, and I went. And when I got there, Renee, there instead of 200 showing up, 400 showed up.
Isn't that phenomenal?
And
I
said, guys, I just invited 200.
Yeah.
No, Brother Terry, but we need you to preach to us. Well, guys, I can't do that. I just provided for 200. Oh, Brother Terry, please, if you don't preach to us, who will do it? You're one of the only ones that will preach to us. You're the only ones to help. Yeah, I said, guys, I can't. They said, oh, Brother Terry, please, 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 please. I said, okay, come on. Well, so it immediately doubled my budget. And I didn't have double the budget. I just my budget was.
That's right.
And I ministered to these 400. God only knows what they've done since then. I mean, the good they've done, the messages they've preached, the healings, the miracles, the churches they've built. One group produced over 400 churches.
400 churches.
You know,
one of those groups.
And so I came back to America, and I didn't have the money. So whenever I was there, I just paid the budget I had.
Yeah.
Then I just pulled out a couple of credit cards and said, well, here, take this. And so I put it on credit cards, believing God to pay it off before it, you know.
30 days.
Yeah. And so no interest. And so I got back, and a dear friend of mine, a good guy, pastor, good guy, called me up and said, come preach for me on Wednesday night. And so I went to preach for him on Wednesday night. And the day I was leaving town, I guess Thursday or Friday, I was leaving town. And he said, come by the office, I want to give you your check. And I said, okay. And so I ran by his office, and he handed me this check, and it was like $20,000. And I said, your people on Wednesday night didn't give this. He said, oh, yes, they did. He said they responded to you and your message and your love and your anointing.
That's wonderful, Terry. That's such a great testimony.
And he said, but Terry, I want to tell you something. I want to give you some advice. I said, okay, what is it? Good friend of mine. Great guy. And he said, you need to learn to budget. He said, you just went to Romania and you doubled your budget. He said, yeah. You can't do that. He said, you've got to learn how to budget. And I said, hey, buddy, I know how to budget.
Right.
It's only math.
Right.
I said, I understand that if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. I got that. It's just math. You got to have more than you know, you can't spend more than you got.
Right.
I said, I understand that. I don't need to learn how to budget. I know how to budget. I said, what you don't understand is it's really easy for me and you and other pastors to sit in our nice offices in America with our carpet and our air conditioning and our color televisions and color televisions. I mean, it sounds old, doesn't it? And our televisions and all that. And then say, oh, well, you need to budget. It's so easy to do that. It's just here at our desk in a sterile environment. We just say, oh, well, here's the budget. This is what I can do, period. Yeah. I said, but what you don't get is then I go over there and face the people. I face the hungry eyes. I face the tears. I face the, Brother Terry, please yeah, preach to us. Nobody will preach to us. We need the word. Please teach us the word. Please, Brother Terry, please. Brother Terry, please don't send us away. And so I say, okay, come on in. God will meet the budget. Yeah. I said, so I understand budgeting. I said, but I also am the guy that faces the crowds where they're hurting.
Yeah, the unexpected.
So what am I supposed to do? Say, go away, go away, go away. No, that
just
goodness.
Just because it doesn't
goodness,
fit my budget, you have to leave.
Yeah, that goodness takes over.
It does take over, Terry.
And I said, God's going to pay it. And he said, oh, never mind. God's already paid. I'm giving it to you. I'm making you out a check for the whole thing. And he did, you know. But the goodness of God. That's what the world doesn't understand. That's what Hollywood doesn't understand. Right. That's what they think they're good, and the politicians pat themselves on the back and say, oh, we raised $100,000 for AIDS awareness. Well, you know, they're all a bunch of millionaires. They could have done that out of their piggy bank.
We were just at a church every year. We're at a church every year in Ohio that out of a little church between a cornfield and a cemetery that has less than 300 people in it, you go and preach there every year with another wonderful minister friend of ours, and that church will raise over $200,000 in 3 or 4 days
missions alone. Yeah. And don't pat ourselves on the back over
and
it.
The budget's already paid before we get there, $40,000-$50,000.
Absolutely. So, because it's goodness.
It's goodness.
The goodness of
God.
That's
the big difference.
And that's what de Tocqueville said. He said, if America ever ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. America's got to go back to being good.
That's it.
The church is good.
Right.
The church does good things.
Yes.
But we've got to watch out that good doesn't become the enemy of best.
That's right.
Because sometimes we say we get so busy doing the good stuff that we omit the best stuff.
Right.
And Jesus said to us, the Bible tells us, Old Testament, New, we've got to get the gospel to the world.
We've got
to help widows and orphans. We've got to help the poor. We've got to do this. Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. We must speak up, it says, for those that can't speak for themselves. Plead the case. Plead the cause of the poor and needy.
Right.
Visit the afflicted. Visit those in prison. Visit those in hospitals.
Right.
Visit the widows and the orphans and their affliction. You know,
well, it says, Acts chapter 10, where it says, Jesus went about doing good.
Good.
And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him working to get the job done.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul is trying to say here. We've got a job to do.
Oh,
we've got to be co-laborers together.
Absolutely.
We can't act like we're in this to get any kind of accolade.
And see, it should come out of us.
Exactly.
Naturally.
Yes.
Because we're Christians. I mean, when I was a teenager, you know the story. I had my own produce business.
Right.
I was raised in Midland, Texas. I had my own produce business when I was a teenager, and I sold, produce to restaurants and to grocery stores. Well, also, when I would get my produce loads in from California and different places, ship it in on trucks or boxcar trains, I would, every time I got a shipment in, I would go by the city jail and drop off crate of lettuce, box of tomatoes, 50-pound bag of onions, 100-pound bag of potatoes, and then I'd go from there over to Teen Challenge, and I'd drop it off. I'd drop it off before they even got to work, just put it on their porch. Never charged them a dime. They never asked me for it. I never told them I was going to give it.
Right.
I'd just drop by. I mean, time and time and time and time and time again, just so those people that they're rehabbing in Teen Challenge from drugs and alcohol, they'd have something to eat. So the prisoners would have something to eat that are in the city jail. There's just a it's our nature to give. God's nature is to give. Living to give is the nature of God. And that all stems from goodness, that God's a good God. He wants people helped.
That's right. Well, you have to go, you know, this is so elementary to what the Word of God is and who God is, that God is love. Jesus said also that people would know we are His disciples if we have love one for another.
Sure.
Well, it's like that wonderful saying that says you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
Exactly.
And the nature of the church, like Paul is trying to describe here, is get your heart right.
Exactly.
So that you're willing to let God get all the glory for it while you do all the work.
You know, you and I always are commenting to each other in our private times about the goodness.
Yes.
We'll see somebody do something and we'll say, oh, thank God for goodness. Goodness is
so
good.
Yeah, we're always talking about, oh, that was goodness. That was goodness right there. That wasn't.
And when you see the church operate like
my
that,
goodness.
Like the church you're talking about in Ohio, we go to do the missions conference, those people, the goodness of God
is in the people.
Compels them to give to missions.
Yes.
You know, and many churches
hilariously
do that.
Giving.
If some of the pastors knew how to stir that up and how to communicate that to the people.
Yeah, it's in the new belief. It's in the new creation. It's
birth. Love compels you to give.
Right.
God's goodness is a compelling force.
Yeah, that nature of God is on the inside of every believer.
It's like the story of the Good Samaritan, you know. The man was robbed by the thieves and stripped naked and left half dead, beat up.
Yeah.
And a priest comes by, a religious man, and doesn't help him.
Right.
Another religious man comes by, first a priest, then a Levite out of the tribes of the priest, didn't help him. And then here comes a Samaritan. Well, what they would have called back in that day, a half-breed. He wasn't a pure Jew culturally.
Right.
And he wasn't looked good on. Nobody liked Samaritans. Jesus even told his disciples, don't preach to a Samaritan.
But there
after
were
the
believers.
Holy Ghost came, he said, you go to Samaria.
There were believers in Samaria.
And here this good Samaritan saw this man naked and half dead and went to him and helped him, poured in his own oil, his own wine, took him to an inn, put him up, paid for everything. That's the goodness.
The goodness.
And Jesus said to the young lawyer that was trying to trick him, trap him in a question, he said, now, which one of these do you think was the neighbor, the goodness, the lover?
Which one was more
active?
And he
said, well, obviously
like
the Samaritan,
Samaritan
was.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, now go ye and do likewise.
Oh, Terry,
he said, even
so
as
wonderful.
The Son of Man, him talking about himself, he said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
My.
That goodness.
Well, it is, Terry, and it's all about changing the nature. You know, we can be born again, but the whole purpose for reading the Word of God, like Paul was saying, you know, here he's just talking about how every one of you have got to get into a place to where you don't act like carnal people.
Oh, absolutely.
The time.
Absolutely.
That you've got to be people that are on the inside, that God is trying to do a work. And he said, and you are yet carnal. And he said, you're not acting like anybody that's born again.
Right.
And he said, you can't be factional. It can't be about who gets all the glory, who gets all the
absolutely.
Credit. When we spread these out here in three programs here to show people that it's not just Terry Myers Ministries, it's Terry Myers and Partners.
Absolutely.
And we are working with them. They are working with us.
Partners that have goodness.
Yeah,
they
that's
want to help. They want to be involved.
One of your longtime friends that's been a child, she grew up under your ministry. I'll tell you later who she was. She wrote on one of our Facebook posts the other day, and she said, thank you so much for sharing with us this information and allowing us to partner with you all these years.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it's very humbling. We couldn't do what we're doing without partnership. And then these folks, you, could not be doing where we're going, you know, without us.
Sure.
And so we're willing to go.
The goer can't go without a sender, but the sender can't send without a goer.
Without a goer.
We need each other.
We need each other. And I'm fine if you'll just go read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and realize how God is trying to work with all of us. Paul said so many great things in 1 and 2 Corinthians about the body of Christ, about the people of God. The ear can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee.
That's right.
And the hand can't say to the foot, oh, I don't need you. Right. You know, I'm God's special person. But he says right here, don't you know you're all God's garden? If he wants to have tomatoes, he's got tomatoes. If he needs to have green beans, he's got green beans. That we're there to nurture whatever the work of God may be needed to do.
Absolutely.
In the earth.
Absolutely. And it all comes down to that God is a good God.
He is a good God.
And when we accept him, that goodness comes on us. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Goodness, meekness, kindness, gentleness, all those wonderful fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And goodness is a big deal.
That's
with
right.
God, that you visit the widows, you visit the orphans in their affliction, you visit the poor, you visit somebody in prison, you visit somebody in the hospital. Jesus said, hey, you know, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And they said, oh, Lord.
Well, it's the act of love.
When were you in prison? We didn't visit you. And he said, well, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me.
How the word teaches us that faith without works is dead.
Of course.
Well, love without works is dead.
Well, of course.
When there's no love, when there's works, then you can act like somebody cared.
Sure.
Somebody wanted to help me. Somebody wanted to take care of me. And they showed it by their love. And all through the New Testament says, don't say you love somebody. Be blessed and carry on.
Be warmed and filled.
Be warm and filled. Be blessed, you know, and then you don't do anything for them. Well, these folks and many of you, help us in the doing. And before we go today, I just wanted to say about the fruit of goodness. Goodness is an act of love, showing, doing, giving. And you and I mean, all those years you and Jackie gave through JMICF and began that work, all the years that the people gave to help support you, there is a heritage here of all of that working in order for you to keep going 56 years.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. Thank God for our partners.
Oh,
thank
my
God
goodness.
For God. Thank God for the goodness
yes.
of God.
Thank God that we have a God we can trust, and then he entrusts and
Absolutely.
gives us
Absolutely.
The dignity
and
of
I've
giving.
Discovered you can trust him.
Well, we only have a few seconds here left, but there is a dignity and a communication in the act of giving
Absolutely.
And being good. Amen?
Absolutely.
Well, we're so glad you've joined us today. And again, we just want to tell you before we leave the air one more time, you are
more than conquerors.
Bye-bye.
I just want to remind you that the greatest miracle of all time and the only eternal miracle is salvation. You know, Christians say sometimes, hey, if you get saved, you live forever. Well, I've got news for you. You're going to live forever anyway, somewhere, either in hell without God for eternity or in heaven with God for eternity. So we don't want to leave without giving you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus, to accept him as your personal Savior. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and called Jesus our Lord, ask forgiveness for our sins, we will be saved. It even says if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So let's just do that right now. Pray this prayer after me. Father God, I come before you today to accept Jesus. I believe in my heart Jesus is the Son of God. I call on you today according to your word. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, wash me in your blood, make me a new creature. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and I'll serve you the rest of my days in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you're saved, you're born again. So write us, let us know, tell somebody that you prayed with Terry and Renee and that you gave your heart to Jesus. We love you. God bless you.